Right, can you hear me?
Bill and Danny Show, thanks for joining us. Let's go.
Philip! Hello!
All right.
How the devil are you?
Good, thank you.
It's good to see you. Pardon?
Just finding a tissue.
Oh, no.
No, it's all right. I'm just going to...
It's a summer, too much dust in the air, is it?
Yeah, we're not here.
No?
No.
What's it been like over in the West Country?
Well, Brecon Beacons, I mean, that's where I've been doing some walks.
All day today or been
all
out?
All day today, I'm actually bloody knackered.
How far do you reckon you walked, mate?
About 9 miles, but...
Up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Was it?
Hallie Bond.
Oh.
Very nice.
What's that, an area or a collection?
A reservoir. Oh. Big reservoir. And then you kind of go along the Taff Trail, which is from all the way from Cardiff to Brecon. It's an old railway line. So you walked along that for a bit and then you cut up, go up through some paths and then onto a little tiny path. It's all the site. So there's basically the reservoirs like that. I'll show you. Hang on. Can I share the screen?
You can share the screen. You know you can't share the screen.
Photos. Oh, no. Cancel. Share. Oh. How do I do it? Screen. Broadcast. No. Zoom. No. No, that doesn't work. Oh, it's because I'm on my iPad. Oh, hello.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. You remember last time you did it? You did share content or something, didn't you?
Yeah. Hang on. I'm trying to find you now. Hang on. Let's just get you back. Zoom.
It's Phil and Dan.
Start broadcast.
Thanks for joining us. Let's go.
Ah, right. Yeah. You can see me.
I can. Yes.
And now you can see, can you see me?
I can't see you, but I can see your screen. Yes, I can see.
That's me.
Oh, like a teardrop.
Yeah. There
or
it
kidney.
Is.
More like
that's
a kidney.
Valley. And there's
wow.
The, well, it's very high up there. So we walked, you see where those trees are at the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then go to the right and you can't see it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see the tree line on the hill over on the other side.
Yeah.
So you climbed up.
And we came up. So we walked up that. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
They're all quite similar height, aren't they? At the top there. All the trees and hills.
Yeah. There's Rosa.
Where's that? Hello, Rosa.
So that's
she looks go back. She looks like she's having a time of her life.
It was very windy, very windy.
And then, yes.
And not me going, come on. That'd be fine.
Philip, where's the tea room?
There she is.
Have you given her the heavy rucksack as well?
No. I was carrying a rucksack. Thank you.
All right.
Right. Stop sharing.
Excellent.
There we are. Beautiful. And then a few days ago, we went to Llantony Priory, which is beautiful. We went up to Hatterall Ridge, which is stunning.
Is it?
Stunning. Right at the top, and then all the way along the ridge. And then we tried to go, so there's a route, so imagine this massive horseshoe. So you've got the little priory down the bottom, and it's huge. We went up the side along, and it looked like there's a path down that way.
Yes.
We came all the way down there, and then it kind of like, oh, we're going to die.
Oh,
so
no.
All the way.
No. Oh, I hate that.
We went up, which was really hard.
Yeah.
Then down, and then we had to go up again.
Oh.
And then down again.
Ouch.
But it was okay. And then it was like biblical rain just as we got to the car. Thank God.
Thank God.
That would have been hard.
Yeah.
If it started raining like that.
Yeah.
when we were stuck.
I was thinking about that the other day when I was on holiday. I went for a little bit of a walk. No, was I on holiday? I can't remember. Anyway, I was out walking and I had a choice where to walk to. And I took the road, you know, optimist. Sounds like you are as well. You know, well, this looks like fun. Maybe if we adventure over here. It's adventuring, isn't it? There is a risk. Sure. There's a risk it's going to go tits up. But have to accept that risk for the reward that you sometimes get.
Exactly. And that's like today we went. So at the beginning of the war, I was really grumpy because it was like, you know, tram line. I don't like walking along railway lines. It's sort of a bit like, you know, flat. And I said, we've come up to this beautiful wilderness and I want to go up there. And Rosa was much more like, no, we keep going. There's a mountain behind us. So if we just keep going, there'll be a path, likely. So we came to this path, like, we'll try it there. All right. We wiggled out. And it was quite hard for about 2.5 hours.
Right.
And then we came and went right out. And then we got to this thing. We could see back. And it was incredibly cold. Suddenly it got really cold.
Really? Really?
And then we saw back. And I said, oh, back down there, we'd seen a little. And you could see, because we were above it.
Yeah.
The path. So we went back down knowing that this little weird little thing would probably lead to the thing going up into the hills.
Yeah.
So we followed it and sure as that, and then it was like, oh, this was so worth it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yes. And you get the reward. Yes.
When you know where you're going, it's fine. It's just, it's that when you're walking, you don't know where you're going. It's like, this could be hours of just tedious, or this could reveal this beautiful, because everything around us was beautiful. It was just, how do we get, and it's also massive.
Yeah.
You can't just go, it's just down there.
Yeah.
You have to, like you say, you've got to commit.
Yes. Yes. To the adventure favors the bold, or whatever it's called. And it's so true. You know, although you do lose sometimes, you have to be prepared to accept those losses, or you'll never get the wins. And so proud, very proud of you. That's probably why I like you, because you are an adventurer. You
know? Yes.
That is important to me. People who are prepared to put themselves out there. You know, I think it's a good trait, an excellent trait.
And it's so beautiful. They're so beautiful. And, you know, when you just think, God, I've lived here, this area, and I know a lot of it, but there's so much I haven't seen. I mean, you're probably the same around Kent and stuff. So when you actually make an effort, and you're right. And so I've never been, Dad was telling me, so Talabont's really nice. Because we were going to go up to the Elam Valley, which is stunning.
Right.
It's like wilderness.
Right.
But it's too far. And I had to see Dad this morning, but it was like, by the time we get there.
Yeah.
Why don't you go? So I showed him my room. So, well, if you go kind of there, Talabot, we used to fish there as kids, he said.
Right.
So it's beautiful. So I've never been there.
No.
And we just took that. It's a little, literally one road. And there's nothing. It's nothing for miles and miles. It's a road ends and that's it. Mountains. Right.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So much, so much to explore.
Yeah, yeah.
So much, even just in your own backyard. Yeah. 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 How far away was that from?
From here, it's an hour and five minutes, something like that. A rider where I wanted to go, well, the Elam Valley is about 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I stopped seeing Dad at 12, so he wouldn't have got there till 2.
Yeah.
You know.
No. No, good call. Good choice. Very good. Yeah. And do you think those hills, how are they? What's the geological activity that's caused them?
It's glacial. It's all massive, beautiful U-shaped valley. Beautiful, wide, enormous. It's beautiful. The Brecon's, that's where the SAS train.
It looks like a duvet, doesn't it? You know, that's been laid out.
Yeah.
Undulating,
this huge sweeping kind of like that.
Yeah,
and then beacons, just ridges, loads. Right. So once you get up, you can walk
really
miles and miles and miles. So, wow. You know, getting up is hard. But then when you're up there, the walking's quite pleasant. You know, it's...
Because it does look quite flat up there in a weird way. Yeah. But so
if the weather changes, it's hell.
Yeah.
High up. So, you know, it just comes like, even today, it was sunny, we had hail, rain, wind, nothing, you know. So as soon as you're up there, it's really, it's like...
Right, know. Right.
So it's sort of very, so if it changes, and it can do very quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the SAS train there, you can have it can go very bad very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It can be brutal, can't it?
We saw a group of army.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we were walking up and they were coming down. An old group of them, very young. So
yeah, I know.
My dad said they do marching and they just march. It's just to get their stamina. You know?
Yeah. I did 5 minutes of, it was 20 minutes of yoga, but five minutes of lying with my legs slightly off the ground this evening. Absolutely killed me. I don't know how they manage it, those army people. I mean, blimey, hats off, frankly, hats off. Yeah, good stuff.
How's your week been?
My week has been fraught, Philip, fraught,
oh,
mate.
No.
Yes, A level results weren't they? Well,
that's sorted, is it? Should be.
Well, is it? You know, who knows? I mean, it's all good. You know, it's all bad. Whatever, isn't it? You know, but it's been emotional. Let's say it was always going to be emotional, but doubly so, I think, because of the shenanigans. So we've been doing a lot of that. And what else? How about you? Been
I went to see some friends. He's John, my friend. He's got a lap steel.
Yeah.
He's had it for ages.
Right.
And actually, the stuff he's done is gorgeous. He doesn't really, you know, he's just got one. But he said it's quite easy because each fret is the top three strings are major chords and bottom minor. And then on the fret, you have a sort of steel, quite like a heavy block thing.
Yeah.
So he was basically saying, look, if you want G major, it's those three there.
Yeah.
And then A minor. Yeah. So he said, you know, if you want basic, obviously, if you want to play it like really, that's really hard.
Yeah.
But if you're just sort of getting the odd, you know, chords.
Yeah.
And he sent me three songs. And it's great. It's really lovely. The lap steel.
Oh,
well, he's a bloody good guitarist. He is a Brit, but he's not a lap steel player. But he you know, so I'm quite tempted because he got his off Tommen.
Yeah, Tommen.
It was like 80 quid or something.
Wow.
Yeah, like a lap steel set, you know, and then you got a proper steel.
Yeah.
About 30 quid or something, you know. So he said it's not, you can get, and it sounds great.
Mm.
Really nice.
Mm. You know that the woman that you shared that her album with me.
Sondheim.
Yes.
Suzanne Sondheim. Suzanne Sundfur.
Sundfur. She has the first two songs have got. I don't know whether it's pedal steel or lap steel or slide. Is it?
Yeah, that's a whole different, because you play that with your knees, your feet, your God.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what I love is when, you do verse, chorus, instrumental, something like that, you know, classic, and you give them four bars of instrumental or something like that, you know, it's all fairly, you know, standard issue, isn't it? I love it when somebody breaks it and like in that, she gives them like 16 bars
instrumental,
and it's just like, oh, you're gonna, you know, that'll be your lot now. No, you're having more, and it's so worth it as well.
Pardon? Gorgeous.
Yeah, and he's obviously, whoever's playing the pedal, is obviously got a lot to say with it, you know. They've got more, so it's not just, oh God, it's gonna go round again. It's like, more.
I love it. Pedal steel. I love it. Pedal steel, you know, I mean, lap is lovely, but pedal steel is,
But that's much more complicated, you see.
Yeah. They're hard, and they cost, you know, they're a machine, they're a kind of thing. And yeah, you've got your knees do something, your knees dampen and then your feet sustain.
Oh, really?
And you've got, is it how many, two layers of, it's hard and it's complicated.
Have you ever seen Stevie Wonder playing? He's got one built for, he's got one, I don't know even if it's a real, you know, or just his own personal, it's like a guitar, but I can't even remember. It's, you should look it up. It's like, just a collection of strings laid out. It's amazing. Amazing. I'm going to see if I can find it now.
Yeah. It's not a zither, is it? Or a dulcimer or something.
It'd be.
You hit with a hammer. Like a little.
Stevie Wonder slide. No, that didn't come up with the.
Dulcimer, maybe.
Oh, yeah, there we go. No, he's playing something there, but I don't know what it is. Could be.
So he plays it.
Yeah, and it's like his version of a guitar. Oh, yeah, it does look like a. Oh, there we go. He's having a go on a dulcimer there. But no, I don't think it was that. Anyway, yeah, what instrument is Stevie Wonder playing in this video?
Let's see.
Can you see that?
Yeah, make it. So it looks like one of those. Yeah, so they've got little buttons at the end. Although it doesn't look like he's playing it like that.
No, and it's only got, look, it hasn't got anything over this, no vertical strings. The vertical strings are only over here.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody, is it a harpeggi?
Never heard of that, but I mean, there's some of the way
it sounds like.
And you press the buttons for the chord and then you strum the.
Can you hear this?
No.
Man, he's playing Get Lucky, you know. But he's playing it on this thing. And he's playing. Oh no! But then he has got.
big band behind.
But he's also got Nile Rodgers with the guitar there. Who's probably playing the funky guitar?
That's harpeggi.
Harpeggi.
Yeah, never heard of a harpeggi.
No. And he plays it like almost like a typewriter or a keyboard or something like that. A writing keyboard. Anyway, why did we get onto that? Don't know.
Pedal steels.
I realize I haven't put up last week's podcast yet, so I'm running behind.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, here we go.
All right, here we go.
Spin that wheel. Oh, is it all that?
Right.
Have we had that one before?
Well, I don't know. What is it?
This is where we take, I think we did do this before, didn't we? We said, is it all that? Is it all that? And we talked about special cables.
But oh, yeah. No, and I think we decided that it is.
Cables, yes. But this week we've got a new is it all that?
Right.
Right. And is it all that this week? Is it all that? Vinyl.
Right. Yes, I think it is. I have to say, but I think a lot of it's physical. I think it's the physicality and that, which I think puts your state of mind. So I do think it is. But there is definitely a warmth and a bump in the bass end, you know, that kind of, and it's quite subtle. But yeah, but I do think the process, because there's something, and it's never worked for me, you know, putting a CD, well, even more so now streaming, but putting a CD, I mean, streaming just is, that's just nothing. But putting a CD in,
compared to
put on and lifting the needle,
dropping
and that pause, there was, and you don't get that anticipation. There's no physical anticipation anymore. It's like streaming is just play. You know what I mean? That sort of play on a screen, so it's all detached. And CD is quite detached because there's no. It's like hidden. You put the CD in, close, play, and you don't know what's going on. You know, the little lays, you know. With a needle, it's like you lift, you've picked it up, that lovely sheen.
There's a connection. There's a real connection.
Yeah. There's a whole, yeah, and it is. I think it did make a difference. Because obviously, you went down to the shop to buy the record.
Yes.
That commitment. And it was.
Connection. I mean, yes. Connection to the record shop man.
Physically quite large thing in your bag that weighed something, you know. You got back and then that take it out, the smell. That sort of fresh, and then the paper with this thing. And that hidden, you didn't see, you just saw the circle. You didn't see the vine, you know, and then you put your hand in that whole, oh, I miss it, that sliding your hand in and feeling the smooth label and your thumb on the edge and then placing it. And then because it was new, you didn't have to clean it either. And then, oh, I mean, it was that anticipation. I really miss that. You know,
that dropping it down. Yeah.
And then you just waited. And then the music started, yeah. And it didn't, at the time though, it was just music. I mean, you know what I mean? You just put it on and all these things took for granted, but now they've gone, or, you know, they're less common, they're gone, but, you know, most people, when you go to their house, or most people won't put on vinyl, most really.
Was the last time you went round someone's house and they popped on a vinyl?
Probably in Edward's cafe, he puts on vinyl.
Does he?
Yeah, so it's all vinyl. And then Mike and Julie, my friends, they have masses of vinyl. I've never heard them play it, but they've got it. And I've got loads of vinyl, loads of them, but I haven't, because the turntables, I haven't got room for the turntable. There's no space to put it with all my CD stuff. And so the turntables upstairs and all the vinyls under the bed. You know, big boxes of...
Yeah.
And I'd love to get that out, you know, so...
But would you, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to buy vinyl. When I'm buying things, it's like things I really like, and there's a vinyl edition. Yeah. But I don't, because I haven't... And another friend of mine, he buys vinyl a lot. And he's got his turntable, and... It's like a treat. So he'll listen on, you know, streaming and all that. But when he really wants to, you know, to hear something he really values, he'll get his vinyl out. even modern stuff, you know, he buys modern stuff on vinyl.
But let's just take that. When was the last time you sat down, put on a piece of music, you know, an album aside, and listened to it? CD, streaming, vinyl, cassette.
Oh, God, recently, yeah. I do that regularly.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Not while you're cooking or when writing and marking.
Bob Dylan, with a website with the links to all the references, open and ready, the cover of the thing, the lyrics. And I did that about four times. That was weeks ago. When did his come out? When did Dylan's new one come out? About a month ago, maybe?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 6 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something I care about. And then I don't like background music. I can't have music when I'm doing something else.
Really?
Yeah, no. I hate it.
Oh.
So if you're talking to me and you put, if it's just on and it's something that won't bother me. But if you were talking to me, say, "Oh, Phil, I want you to listen to this," and you put it on and talk, I can't. I'd have to be like, "No, I'll either listen to that or talk to you. I can't do both because I'll be too distracted." So background music, doesn't really do it for me. I mean, I'll have the radios on and it'll be on. But if it's something of mine, no, I can't really.
Yeah, I know. I have to give TV my full attention. I can't, you know, no, I can't.
TV on is a, no, yeah, I'm like that.
I'm either watching the TV or I'm chatting. I can't do both. No way. But with music, I'm quite happy and I love having some music on while I'm chatting or playing a game or cooking or doing anything, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I do love having music on. And I'm trying to think, and I hear what you're saying about the really wanting to concentrate. I always have this feeling with music that I'll be able to listen to it again. Whereas with the stuff on the TV, I always feel like I've got to prioritize that because if I don't watch that now, it will be gone, you know, and I'll never see it again.
It's quite intrusive.
Hmm. Very, very,
if you go around someone's house and the TV's on.
No.
And they're talking to you, you just think it's going off.
I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Yeah.
TV's on. So you came around and see me, the TV's on. I'd automatically turn it off. I wouldn't.
No.
There's no way I'd invite you in and just be looking. And so no. It's sorry to sound like an old fart, but it's just rude. it's just rude. Turn the bloody TV off or I'll go home then.
Well, you say that, but I mean, like Sal, she can do TV like I can do music. So she will put the TV on just for something, you know, background chatter while she's talking. But it really, you know, she's in and out of it. It's really not a problem. She likes having it on the background. She doesn't like having music on in the background.
We're
all different, aren't we, you know? Yeah, but vinyl. I mean, I think you're right. I think there is definitely a tactile experience with vinyl.
Definitely.
That you don't get with any other music, with other forms.
And anticipation as well.
Anticipation.
Like live you get anticipation. Yeah, the moment they come in, you know, and that's why live is so amazing. And I think vinyl gives you that more than CDs and streaming.
I mean, and I do love the sound, you know, the warm sound, the crackly sound. It adds that top end, doesn't it, sheen to everything, you know, that you just lose when you know, the whole 80s, the problem with the whole of 80s music was they didn't know how to cope with the purity of 16-bit audio, did they? You know, it's taken them 20, 30 years to start getting the hang of it. But better sounding? Better? Does it sound better? No, it never sounds better than digital. Digital is the
you think?
It is the gold standard. You can make a digital track sound like vinyl, but you can never make a vinyl track sound like digital.
Yeah, but you want to make a vinyl track. That's
no,
the point.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there is no argument. Digital is a better recording and audio medium. It's higher quality. It's better. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that vinyl doesn't have a place. And I think I've heard some amazing, the Jack Garrett album, he's using synths and stuff, but his vinyl pressing of that, it's seriously, it hasn't lost much in the translation of vinyl. I thought, you have certain limitations with vinyl, because you can't have the needle jumping out and so you can't
go
that low, but it goes down low.
I watched last night, it was a history of the old Grey Worcester. I was up till 1:30.
Really?
And they had all these people. It was from 2018.
Yeah.
And Gary Newman came on.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a live thing with his 11-year-old daughter. He did one, it was 2018, so it was super. Bloody hell, it was good.
Really?
It's really, yeah. Really? But he did this new one about global warming and Trump and stuff with his daughter singing. He was only 11, and it's bloody good. And they're all dressed weird stuff, pushing the boundary stuff. Because he's quite a strange bloke, Gary Newman. He's quite social. And then at the end of that, the end, and she walked off. He gave her a big hug. It was really nice. And it was like, dun, 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 dun. And it was bloody hell. They had the guitar. And it was the best version. It's live and rocky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bang, bang,
yeah.
Bang,
yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. It's a great tune, isn't it?
What a song. Yeah. And then they had the three of them, Gary Newman, Joan Armatrading, and Dave Stewart, right? Just talking about things. And Dave Stewart became us. Like, he was a bit pissed. And he said about modern music and saying how the record companies don't give anyone any, because Joan Armatrading said she had 3 years from the A&M department to develop, and that was the way in the 70s. It was.
Yes.
Artists, you let them grow, you left them alone, and he said it's the sign 'em, fuck 'em, drop 'em.
Now
he said, can I say that? and Bob Harris went, not really, but carry on. Everyone was laughing. And then he just had this rant, Dave, and it was really good. And he really supports artists, Dave Stewart.
Right.
And he was just saying, it's so sad that, you get these young people, they're sent to LA, there's 50 songwriters they have to work with, they don't know who they are, the songwriter doesn't know who they are, and then the A&R people don't even know who they are, and then they drop them after a month, going, who are you again? Well, instead of like, you've come with a song, it's your thing. It was very good anyway. I was sort of sitting there going, yes.
Right up your street. Did Gary have a point of view?
No, Gary was very quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet.
No.
But these were all, they were sort of, Bob Harris just said, he was at the edge. They were all quite edgy, Like Gary Newman with the Two Way Army and everything. And at the time, with lots of synths and strange costumes and makeup, it was very different. And
it was,
I remember Little Grey Whistle Test was live bands, no audience. And it was a brilliant, do you remember it? You I loved that program. And you get like the Damned, like going completely, and it would end, and there would be. There was no like, woo! And it was all a bit like, and even the band were like. And the camera stayed on them, and there was that brilliant. It was very human, it just showed them all. Like, and they showed things that went wrong, and the people that were on it. you know, just everyone. And then they had Peter Frampton came on, and he was talking about, and he just all these people just say, oh, you know, golden age.
Golden really. Age.
And then the big bands like the Stones, John Lennon, all these people couldn't, they were just too big and they couldn't make it to the studio. So they had this bloke, can't remember his name, he got archive footage, film footage, and cut it together of like 20s strange comedy dancing and stuff, but make it fit with the, you know, and they showed them some of the videos. So it's just abstract footage of, I don't know, boxing matches and weird square dances and Morris dancing.
What, to fit? To fit what? Their record?
To fit the song, yeah. So the Stones would release a record.
Right.
So they would say, here's the Stones, you rap. And it was done to these videos.
Right. Oh, wow.
Before MTV.
Yeah.
You watch them now and they're just surrealist, genius. They're just brilliant. And they kind of work, you know, with these black and white. But they cut it together with all these weird dancing.
Wow. Yeah. And collages.
They were all saying, Gary, all of them were saying, you know, we just don't have that edginess, that kind of, it's all a bit bonkers, you know.
Yes.
It doesn't really make sense. But it's not about getting likes or thumbs ups or, you know, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It wasn't about that. It was about, you know, well, we haven't got any zoos, so we'll just do this, you know. And even the studio, but just the whole way. There was one bit where Annie Nightingale, she was interviewed, and they showed the clip that something had happened. Oh, what band was it? It was quite a big band. And the singer was throwing up, like literally, and she was smiling. She was like laughing, going, and it's all this kind of DIY, you know. And then they go to the band, and the guy who's literally just on his vomit and stuff, and sort of comes up and looks a bit like, and starts singing. It's some big band, I can't remember, it's the Damned or something like that. And they do a cracking version, you know. It was all that kind of, like just bands, just groups of people. And it's in a studio and it was like, we're going to film it. And then I think it was like, how many people used to watch the old great, it's something like 8 million. It was massive.
Yeah.
But everyone who watched it, I remember watching it thinking, I'm the only one watching it because it didn't feel massive.
Yeah.
It was all sort of a bit haphazard, and I love that program. It was brilliant. It was 4 hours it was on. I only watched about 2 hours of it. It was from 9 till 1, and I picked it up, you know, flicking.
Yeah.
It was really God. What else did they have? And they had some new bands as well. Three girls they were, Woodland something. Wood. They're really good. So they had sort of modern.
Okay.
Some kind of modern stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was 2018. It was broadcast, so I think it was the 50th anniversary or something.
Right. Yeah.
Starting 1950. Yeah. I don't know. 68.
Yeah. I mean, it does. You know, the whole era, recording-wise, was probably the pinnacle, wasn't it? As far as you know, the money that was being lavished on albums, the recording techniques, the gear. You know, it was fabulous. Great sounding bands. That time.
Sorry.
Great sounding bands. You know, I'm always looking for fabulous recordings, you know.
I think the Big Pink, which is the band, they're called the Band, that's from the 60s, late 60s. That's, you know, the Basement Tapes.
Yeah.
And it's not that good. See, the thing is, it's not.
No.
But it captures, that's the thing, loads of Tom Waits stuff. It just captures. It's not about whether it was good quality. It's about what it captures.
No, it's a good quality for me.
Van Morrison, you know, it just captures these brilliant moments of musical magic. There is magical, and you can still hear it now. You put it on, and you think that is magic. That is captures that moment, and I just don't think that happens anymore. because everything's so.
But that's because you're a miserable cynic and you think that it's all over, but it's not. You're just old.
Well, I don't know.
It's out there, Phil. Of course it is. It would be so. It would be such a random thing that it happened when you were young, but it all ended when you grew up. It's just not going to be like that. The chance of it being like that are a million to one. So it's much more likely that you just don't know where it's at the moment.
I think it has changed. It's fine. I don't really. But the reference point has, it's changed, it's completely changed because
it's always changing.
But there was that golden age that it will never be like, it can never be like that.
No, it will never be like that.
It wasn't accessible to everyone.
But have you ever, I've been listening, I can't even remember who it is, but those, you know, the big bands. When were they, you know, the Glenn Miller?
Well, Big Band, 40s and 50s. Like,
40s and 50s. Yeah. Going to see one of those must have been a phenomenal experience, audible. And I should imagine that people who went to see them, you know, in their 20s, when they got to the 70s, they said, well, it's, you know, it's all gone, isn't it? It used to be.
But the change has been, it's huge. It's like a paradigm shift. It's massive. It's not like it was always recorded and people got together and played music and that's fine and all that. Now it's so linked to something else that isn't music. See, music always was linked to music. It really was. It couldn't be anything else because that's what it was. It was simpler. Now music isn't music. It's not. It's linked to many other things, and that's fine. But you can't compare it. So it's not. You can't compare the beginning of recorded music or performance music up to about 1993-4 to what's happening now. You can't compare it. It's utterly changed. So before that, it was always a thread of similarity. It's performance artists, collaboration, live, you know. It doesn't matter whether it was recorded digitally or not. It's not about how it was recorded or how musicians play together. It's about the perception that musicians have and how what they grew up with. So you grew up with, you know, music and you, the people who played music, you know, and what you, your reference points, it's just changed so hugely now that you cannot, there's no one of the magnitude that there was, there isn't. There's no Tom Waits, Bob Dylan's, David Bowie's, all that lot. There aren't of that magnitude who did the body of work of, you know, there really isn't. And that's not because
I disagree. I think there is, and there will be, and we can't see them because it's like they're doing it now. They're doing it now. We're in the, you know, it's like in the formation phase. These people.
No. Dylan was hailed and Bowie and all that quite quickly. Prince and all that lot. There's loads of them. I mean, they're low. You know, they're great.
I do now.
Greats from the 90s.
Yeah, but there was, what about Mark Bolan? I bet he was, he had a few songs and then his star faded. David Bowie kept going and is amazing.
Yeah.
We didn't know that when his first few songs
the 70s, I'm talking about the 90s, which was 30 years ago now. Is there anyone of that gravitas? There's some great music. There's some fantastic bands in the 90s. But do they have that weight that Neil Young... So Neil Young in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, that's a long time. Neil Young was considered, you know, by the 90s, it was kind of a... So from the 90s now, any bands that... Even though I like lots of them, but they don't have that kind of... They don't. I think they admit it themselves. They're not up there with you know, Blue Valentine and all this kind of stuff. Well, for me, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, for you. And that's the point, isn't it?
Well, Primal Scream, I'll put them up there. They're...
Wow. Radiohead?
Well, yeah, Radiohead, yes.
The Smiths?
That's 80s.
Oh.
There's a lot of 80s. Okay, let's say like late 90s onwards there. You know, David Gray?
No. No,
exactly. So you immediately go, no, but Massive, very popular.
Yeah, but I mean, there was probably David, you know, thingy back in the 70s, wasn't there? You know, I'm a long-haired lover from Liverpool.
Oh, Donny Osmond, legend.
Donny Osmond.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying, you know, you just sound like an old git when you say stuff.
No, damn, there's books written about this. It's not
yeah, by old gits. By old gits. It's ever-changing music, and that's why we love it. There's always something new, and I am no less in love with it now than I was back in the 80s. And there's every year I still endlessly pore over my top 10, and they're always brilliant. You know, the albums, I've always got an album of the year, and it's awesome. And that's not because music is going to the dogs. Music isn't going to the dogs.
No, I don't think that at
it's
all.
It's changing, that's all.
No, I'm
it's
not
just
saying
changing.
I'm not, music's brilliant. There are some brilliant bands. I bloody see them, you know.
Eels.
The popular. It's not just me. Listen to Dave Stewart. It's the whole industry. It's the way.
Yeah, it's changing. But I mean, you know, everything changes, mate. Everything changes.
You think Spotify is good for music, do you?
Not for musicians,
Facebook,
no.
Facebook good for music?
Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to make a living as being a musician, am I? Pardon?
That's all I think, is it just like, I think the people, you know, that's the thing. If your focus is about how many likes I get, how can I be like some, this comparative thing rather than, and there are, of course, there are bands with themselves, and it's so difficult not to be drawn into the whole Facebook, the whole that shebang of stuff. It's so difficult. How can you not be drawn in to trying to be original? So original becomes something that you try and be.
Wasn't it in the 70s, wasn't it radio, payola, and you know, trying to get on the Billboard charts? Wasn't that, you know, a similar, couldn't you draw a parallel? You know, the wannabes, they had a different vehicle, but they were still trying to climb on board.
Of course,
you know,
yeah.
But not everybody's playing that game, are they? You know?
Maybe it's harder not to nowadays. Maybe that's the thing. It's harder not to. You kind of have to.
Do you though? You know, I don't know if you do. I just think, what's the point of saying that it's, you know, it's not like it used to be? That's exactly what you're saying.
I'm not saying music's not like it used to be. I'm saying that the reference points around it have changed to the detriment of the art form. Nothing's changed in the art. I'm just saying the reference points, no one's fault. It's just very difficult to be, you know, because it's so visual now. Music's an auditory thing. It's so visual. It's so visual beyond, obviously, yes, there's always been videos, but it's so visual now. It's so about what you see. It's so about that.
Maybe back in the 60s,
it's about,
you know,
lyrics.
It got in the 60s and 70s.
People don't give a shit about lyrics because they don't listen to lyrics.
No.
Right, so, yeah, so a song is lyrics and music. That's what a song is. That's fine if people don't, but so it's changed. That's all I'm saying. I honestly don't lose sleep over it. I'm simply saying that the reference points of what music is has changed. And it's just a bit like, it's becoming thinner, it's becoming more And yeah, I think he used to have real.
Maybe back in the 60s.
More mysterious, because it could be.
Audio had a moment when it was possible to broadcast audio, but it wasn't possible to broadcast video.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Audio became more important. It had its moment in the sun.
That's all, yeah.
You know, before
Which
then...
Good
back
for the art form, because the audio, it was what the sound mattered, not the look. That's all I'm saying. And because now the visual medium has become so powerful and so overreaching of everything, it sort of smothers the you know, music is an auditory art form. It's about listening. It shouldn't matter what you look, you know, and as soon as, you know, and of course, yeah, the beat in the 60s, it started, you know, of course, the visual thing, it's always been, but I still think the what it sounds like is becoming less and less important now. Which, in other words, diminishes. It's almost like saying art becomes less about what it looks like, in which case would diminish the art form, the form of, as in visual art.
Well, we'll have to disagree, because I think
there
is still plenty of times when people are listening to just audio. You know, sure, there's a lot of visuals in there now. You know, visual has taken its place at the top table. And people love their visuals, you know. There's no two ways about it. Probably people are more, there's more visual people than audio people. You know, the visual sense is higher up the food chain than the audio senses to most people. If you ask them which would they prefer to lose, they would say their hearing rather than their sight. But that doesn't write it off, you know. It's still there. It's still, for me, it's still my favorite sense, and no one's going to take that away.
No, absolutely. And yeah, they don't. But I think that the last point is just that, you know, most people don't listen to the end of a song. It's almost like saying most people don't finish a book.
But you just—that's just sweeping generalizations.
They did what? Some survey that because the way Spotify works, the way, you know, it blends from one song. So in other words, it's almost pointless to finish a song in the realm of Spotify. It's almost because it blends into the other one. That's fine, but you'll never hear.
Spotify doesn't blend on my Spotify doesn't.
No, but it can, if you do playlists and stuff, it tells you there's a fade and it fades into the other. It's kind of seamless.
You can if you switch that on.
Yeah, obviously you can, yeah. But I'm saying apparently it's very prevalent. I understand why. I'm just saying it's prevalent that attention spans are diminishing. They are.
Yeah.
So,
well, I bet, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, Mozart would be saying that about pop music, wouldn't he? He would be going, it's disgusting what they're doing to the art form.
Yeah.
And TikTok, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds is quite enough of a song now. Then that's, you know, that is quite, it's a mind blower that most of the popular
I'm not going to start thinking that's a good thing now, it's 15 seconds. Yeah, I'm not going to think that's a good thing. I don't care why, that's not. It's not.
You're an album man, aren't you? You love an album, you know.
The art form, a song, a collection of songs created by
TikTok isn't going for you, is it? You know,
no.
But
what it does influences millions. Of their reference point, then it's like, you know, news is becoming 258 whatever the characters.
Yeah.
That's what news is becoming. It's not good. That's not good.
Even less, isn't it? It's the clickbait headline.
Yeah.
Is your
so
news?
So no one reads it. I've had
no one reads it.
Who argue the headline, and then you simply, so it's of interest to me, and I go, oh, yeah. I explain, and they go, oh, I don't know, I just saw it on whatever.
Yeah.
There's no reference, so there's no sort of depth to an argument saying, well, the reason I think this is because I've read this, I've talked to this person. It doesn't matter about agreement or disagreement, it's great, but it's about, there's no sort of like, well, I spoke to this person who said this, and that criticized something that I can refer to this. There's all this wealth, which is what makes humans humans. It's like,
do you think it's ever been like that?
What?
Do you think it's ever been like that, that, you know, discourse? No, no.
Well, yes, it has in more so, more so.
More so.
Obviously, there's no, yeah, obviously.
So is humanity just slowly going down the toilet across the board then?
It's a really difficult one, that, because many ways it's not, and many ways it is, which has maybe always been the case.
And I think on that point, we will wrap it up, take it home. Ah, that was a good one, Phil. Enjoyed that.
Was it?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's a classic. That's a classic. We just want to make sure we don't do that every week, that same rant. We've got to keep
it's
it
not
fresh.
A rant.
Sounds like a rant.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you're passionate about stuff.
Well, yeah, that's I was going to say, you've got to care. People who don't, oh, I don't know. There's things I want to say, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll save it for another episode. Mm. Save it for another episode. But maybe we'll see, you know, maybe in 20 years' time, we can look back on this and go, we just did not know how lucky, how good we had it then.
Oh, no.
Wick whack. You're recording. 1 second
songs. What we have, what's available for us, we're in the golden age.
Oh, man, aren't we?
In terms of me as a recording musician. Oh,
God, unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Unbelievable.
No, I don't criticize any. And no, I don't. God, it's wonderful. That's the good stuff. I remember.
Oh, so God, I remember trying to record.
Grassroots, nothing's changed. Yeah.
No.
The grassroots, which is what you said, it's out there. Of course it is. Of course it is. But, you know, it's the beyond, and that's what's... And I think we can change it. You know, musicians and artists can change that, I think. But,
no,
yeah.
What we have to get better at is... filtering out that top level of noise, because I'm aware, right, that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, obviously I'm aware of that, but I refuse to engage with any of the publicity that goes on about him. So I just avoid it all now because it's so pointless listening to any of it. And if I can filter that out, then I can filter out, you know, I know there's a thing called TikTok, and I know that, you know, it's like crack, but I can filter all of that out as well. And that just does not, you know, it is possible to do these things, you know, to it's really noisy. It's like the kid in the classroom, isn't it? You know, the loudest kid in the classroom, but you can filter that out, and you can find your own group below that, below, you know, possibly get, find your own group below that, and communicate in the, you know, just between that group in that level, you know, so not worry that they're getting all the headlines, they're getting all the press, they're getting all the millions of hits, likes, views. All the money is going in that
direction.
Yeah, I
couldn't agree more. That's the point.
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Let that happen. Yeah. Like on the surface of the ocean, and then somewhere else,
Beautiful stuff going on. There's, you know, as I said, like that, all the bands on. So they were on the show yesterday. They had the Gary Newman and the Peter Frampton stuff, and they had new bands and stuff. And they were great. I mean, really good.
Never heard of them.
You know, no. But because the old Grey Whistle Test ethos is exactly what you've just said, they do search.
Mm.
for the ones, and it was brilliantly, you know, the harmonies and stuff. It was really good. These three guys, I can't remember, Woodland something, and one was playing a floor tom and a snare. I mean, yes, standing up floor tom snare, a bit Mumford and Sons, but you know, did it well, worked quite well. Guitarist, piano, and a bouzouki. But the harmonies, the singing was really good.
Yes.
And the vocals and stuff, not sure if they're American. I think they might have been British, but whatever.
So that should be our mission, Philip. Our mission to be trying to try and find these strata, these seams.
Nuggets of gold.
Yeah, to find where they're collecting, where they're flowing, where they're connected, and bring them together, bring them out, present them in the Phil and Danny show.
What Dave Stewart, so basically to finish, Dave Stewart's, you know, because I don't like his music particularly, but I like him. I like what he was saying. I'm not, so it's irrelevant whether, you know, but I admire, you know, all that stuff, the tourists and the Eurythmics stuff. I actually like the tourist, but he really supported, always has done, and he's played with some really good people, you know, he's played with Dylan and stuff like that, but he supports artists, and he was saying, you know, I really want to support artists to allow them to grow, irrespective of whether they get, and he went, big, or whatever. It's not about that, it's saying to grow people who have something to say and allow them to find their way of saying it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. It's still a value of it. And that's what I just think the industry, not about the public.
The industry.
It lacks now because of so many things. I think, yeah, the industry lacks that finding an artist. There's Joan Armour Trading, and she talked very eloquently about it. You know, she was 3 years. So she was signed. And for 3 years, she was allowed to just put things out, didn't really do anything. Tour, didn't really get much attention. And then by the time in 3 years, she released Love and Affection and all that, and she went massive. But the record company were with her all the way. They didn't go, oh, you haven't done it in a week. We haven't got enough. And it's not the musicians, but it's just the pressure they're under to have, you know, this awful, you know, digital marketing and social media awareness and all this sort of crap. You know what I mean? It's there's a lot of pressure to be something that if you're not, you get sort of pushed aside. Where that, so how many are we losing? You know, how many of these possible greats just haven't been given time with the backing?
Well, agents? You see, there again, I'm diverging from you because I think if your passion is music, ain't nothing going to stop you making music. And
that's
always been the case with art. You don't need a record company. You don't need 3 years.
Well,
you don't need
a
sponsor.
That. And that's one thing the modern age has delivered, that you don't need that which is really positive, the do-it-yourself. I love that. It's just,
right on.
You know, I love that. I mean, you know, and I, you know, when we started in the 90s, Spotify, you know, that would have been great. I would have loved all that.
Yeah.
So I love Spotify in its, the idea
discovery.
That you put a song and it's out there and everything you can hear. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What I don't like is all the stuff, seriously, and people say, even now to me, I mean, you know, all the time, you've got to, with that phrase, you've got to have a Facebook account. You've got to, you know, that's what I find a bit depressing. You know, so Spotify is just this platform. That's great. Put it out there. Lovely. But it isn't enough. You do have to do all this other stuff or not. I don't know.
No. Well, that's what we can find out. We can start trying to find places or channels or the.
Yeah. And there'll be stuff on Spotify that is brilliant. Of course there will be. Beautiful stuff. That has one listener.
Yeah, but how, you know, where's the old grey whistle test of 2020? You know, where is the where is the channels that these stuffs? I bet there's some really
an old grey whistle test sensibility with Spotify. That's some sort of filter, like you said, someone who goes to Spotify and says, take a listen to this person. Yeah, I found this. But there's just so much.
Well, let's start looking. And if we find music, we'll bring it here. If we find channels, we'll bring them here. We'll start collecting them. We'll make it. Yeah, we'll start applauding all this stuff. Have you gone?
No, I'm back again.
Great. Yeah, I'd love that. I mean, I love it when you introduce me to new music, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do that, Phil.
Search on Spotify. They will be out there, absolutely guaranteed. There are nuggets out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm interested in like Welsh, because I'm learning Welsh now and stuff, but, you know, loads of Welsh music and Welsh bands and what.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there will be. There'll be some great stuff. It's so niche.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. Can't wait. All right, Philip.
Right.
Have a lovely week, mate.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
I'll be back in London. Well, probably. I might be coming back here. I'm going back on Saturday.
All right.
And then
good.
Might be coming back here, depending on what.
All right. Yep.
So.
Good stuff. Well, you take care. Love to Rosa. You
too.
I will. And your dad.
Thank you.
Hug from us.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you, Phil.
Bye.
It's Phil and Danny Show. Thanks for joining us. Let's go.